Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, today we continue our red letter challenge, getting into those red letter words of Jesus. And today we hear that call of Jesus that we be in relationship with him. Because you see, before we can do anything, as Jesus asks us to do, we need to be with him. We need to be in relationship. We need to abide in him. We need to find our rest in him, our identity in him, so that we can actually do what he asks us to do. Because apart from Jesus, he says we can do nothing. And so if we want to be people who are taking this red letter challenge and actually being able to do it, the first thing we need to do is be in relationship with Jesus. And Jesus, you see, longs to be in relationship with us. You heard it in our gospel reading for today. Jesus said, "How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." You see, Jesus wants to be in relationship with us so that we can live and experience the kind of life that he has come to give. A new life, a different kind of life that's filled with blessings and peace and joy. I have to say, though, it didn't get off to the greatest start. My first date with my wife, Rachel. I'm sure some of you might remember you had your first date with your spouse, maybe a little bit awkward, maybe a little bit nerve-wracking, maybe a little uncertainty, a little apprehension as you're heading into it. But let me tell you, ours was a first date that you don't soon forget. First of all, it almost wasn't. You see, after getting up the nerve to ask Rachel out on a date, she said yes, but later that night she called me to tell me that she forgot she already had plans and she couldn't go out on a date with me. But if I wanted to go with her and her friend and her baby's friend, I was welcome to come along on that adventure. And not knowing what to do, I said, "Yeah, sure, that'd be great. That'll be really fun." And so I found myself in the back of, I don't know, it had to have been about an 85 Honda Civic with a baby next to me and Rachel and her friend in the front seat talking back and forth, all excited about the event that we were going to. And I really had no idea what it was. I asked and it made no sense to me, so I just went along with it. And we drove around for quite a while, and I noticed that they were talking a lot, and we drove by the same thing about four times, and I finally asked, "Do you guys know where you're going?" And, "Oh, yeah, sure," and we drove for a little bit more, and we ended up at a Day of the Dead celebration. Now, Rachel and her friend Catherine had studied in Mexico City together, and this is one of the traditions of that Mexican culture. And so they were all excited to go to this. I really had no clue what it was about. There's a lot of skulls and tombstones and all that kind of pink colors and blue and all that turquoise kind of stuff. And the problem was it was St. Louis, and really you don't expect it in St. Louis, but it was cold that night. And the sidewalks were very slippery. And so I ended up carrying around the baby most of the evening in this baby carrier, and I'm carrying it around, and like, this is a great date, you know, this is awesome, you know, and things were going along, and they were having fun, and we drove back to Catherine's house, and Rachel said to Catherine, "Well, you know, I'm kind of hungry, would you like to go get something to eat?" And she said, no, I'm full," and you could see them, they were winking at each other and all that kind of thing, so I thought maybe there's a chance here. And sure enough, there was. We ended up going out that night for a bite to eat. I remember we had a hot toddy that night because it was snowing in St. Louis. It was October. But we sat there for a number of hours, and it didn't take long to figure out that, yeah, we actually liked spending time together. We liked spending time together as we learned how to be together, as we learned how to do life together. And after 25 years of being together, I think we've kind of made it work. There's certainly some ups and there's some downs along the way. But the key, I think, one of the keys to it is finding this balance of both being together in relationship and doing life together. Now this morning, we, as we gather in this season of Lent, we celebrate the fact that we have a God who doesn't give up on us. Even as we sometimes find ourselves kind of out of balance in our relationship with Him. Because so oftentimes that relationship gets out of balance. It either becomes all about us just doing, and not being in relationship with Him. And as a result of that, we often find ourselves living lives that, you know, are kind of superficial when it comes to our walk with God. Maybe we live it out kind of hastily. Well, I got to do this or I got to do that. Maybe we sometimes even find ourselves just even disengaging from the relationship. As we struggle to be the people that we long to be. We wonder where the joy has gone, where as we look for real peace in our lives, we find ourselves kind of living for all the wrong reasons, the wrong things. We try to meet our own needs. We want to take the easy way. We fail so often to finish what we start. Today we are grateful that Jesus finished what He started. As He made His way to Jerusalem, as He made His way to the cross, for it was there in Jerusalem, this place of history, as we heard from our Old Testament reading, this place that God would reveal His great love for you and for me. For it was there in Jerusalem that Jesus would give His life. He would give Himself. So that you and I could be in a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. Knowing deep inside of our hearts with all certainty that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that we are empowered to live a different kind of life. That because we're joined to Him, because we have our identity in Him, we can be people who produce real fruit. And you see, that happens as we find this right balance in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, as we seek to be with Him so that we can do the things that He asks us to do. So that we can be people who are actually finishing what God has started in us. Jesus knew that this doesn't come naturally, so he challenges us, doesn't he? We hear that in those words that kind of form the theme for this series called Red Letter Challenge. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew's gospel. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice," so it's this idea of being with and doing, "this person is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation," Jesus said, "on the rock." Jesus is saying, if you want your house to stand, practice what I'm preaching. Do what it says. If you want real life, don't just hear these words of mine. Live them out. And that's why over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at Jesus' words, the ones that are written in the red letters of your scripture, and learning how we can be people who are putting them into practice as we take this red letter challenge. Living out Jesus' words in our day-to-day life. As we are changed by being in relationship with Jesus, as we are empowered by being in relationship with Jesus, so that we can be people who are actually making a difference in the world in which we live. Because you see, this is the mission that Jesus gave to us as he ascended into heaven. This is our purpose. This is what we do as those who follow Jesus together. If you want to boil it down to one target of what it is that Jesus asks us to do, it's to love. We are called to love one another as Christ has loved us. And here's the thing, we've got an advantage when it comes to loving others, because you see, we're people who've been loved, who don't deserve God's love, and yet God has loved us. God continues to love us. And we've recognized the power of that love in our life. That love changes us. It changes who we are. It changes what we do. So that we can be people who are not just going through the motions, but actually people who are finishing what God has started in us. Living out these red letter words of Christ as we live differently, as we reflect the heart of God, a heart of love, and sharing that love with the people that God brings into our lives. Sharing that love with our friends and our neighbors. Sharing that love with the next generation that comes up behind us, so that they have this privilege of experiencing this life-changing love of God and following in this way of Jesus too. And as people who long to see this happen, it begins to happen as you and I, as we are living lives that put God's word into practice and are transformed by this truth. That being with Jesus changes us so that we can be people who are doing what God commands. So that we can be people who are actually loving our neighbor as ourselves, as we are people who forgive, as we are people who serve, as we are people who give, as we are people who are willing to go. Now, getting to where you want to go these days might not seem as easy as it might not be as easy as it seems. I mean, especially if you're flying, it's not easy anymore. What was once glamorous and exciting has become kind of a pain in the you know what. There's security lines, and you know there's all these rules that go along with the luggage, and then you're kind of just stuck in this small, cramped seat. And I'm not very big. I can't imagine what it must be like for some people. You know, so you get out and you can't even move your legs. And then there's all the pricing, the crazy pricing, the changes from day to day and hour to hour. You know, you book your flight on Tuesday at 8:32 in the morning to get the best price. And you look at it an hour later and it's gone up $600. And you can't even begin to figure it out. And it's gotten to the point where it's almost easier to drive than it is to fly. It almost takes the same amount of time. Here's the thing. Whether you fly or whether you drive, sometimes, we don't know where our destination is. You've seen some of those people who've gotten those airline flights, and they think they're going somewhere, and then something happens on the plane, somebody crazy does something, and boom, before you know it, you're not even in the place where you wanted to go. Jesus knew where he was going and what he had come to do. That's really the gist of our gospel lesson for today. Jesus' eyes were set on Jerusalem. This was his destiny. This was his destination. And it's amazing, as I heard that Jeremiah and read that Jeremiah text for the third time, or you know, around this weekend, the connection there with this idea of Jesus now being that prophet who would go to Jerusalem and actually be, you know, put to death for what he had come to do. I mean, Jesus knew all along what would happen. You could hear it in his words. He says, no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. So he would go for you and for me. He would go to Jerusalem for all people, doing his Father's will. And you see, Jesus could go because he had spent time with his Father, hadn't he? Jesus was able to finish what he started because he was empowered by the relationship that he had had with his Father. He had abided in his Father. He had rested in his Father. And as a result, he could do what his Father asked. He could make us, you and I, a part of the family, providing for us a real relationship with our Father as we are people who are Roman numeral one, who are being with Jesus. People who are being with Jesus as we're joined to him in our baptism, as we abide in him, in his word, as we celebrate his coming to us in the Lord's Supper. Because you see, at the root of it all, Jesus longs to be with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to rest in him. The words of Jesus in the gospel couldn't be spoken more clearly. How often have I longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Jesus knew where he was going. He knew what he was doing. But let's face it, so often we don't. We run after the things of this world only to be disappointed. We turn from God thinking we know what's best. We doubt his goodness. We question the plans that he has for our lives. You think Jesus had reason to question? Right? I mean, but we find ourselves doing that. We try to do the things of God without first being with Jesus. And we fail, don't we? I mean, how many times have we said to ourselves, today is going to be different, today I'm going to be different. And yet we fall back into that same old pattern. Those same old habits, as our anger gets the best of us, as we prop ourselves up to cut others down, as we give in to temptation, thinking inwardly, living selfishly, acting hurtfully. But here's the thing. You see, the more time we spend with Jesus, the more empowered we are to do the right thing. Because that is what happens when we are point number one. That's what happens when we are people who are trusting in his promises. Trusting his promise that he is with us in every circumstance and in all situations. Trusting in his promise that says that he will forgive us even when we go our own way and do our own thing. Trusting in his promise as he seeks to give to us real freedom that sets us free from our guilt and shame of the past and transforms us and changes us as we, point number two, are experiencing firsthand his love. His love for us. A love that would take Jesus to the cross, where he would carry our sins, where he would die your death and mine. You see, Jesus willingly gave up his relationship with his Father so that we could have one. He would finish what we could never finish, because you see, he would overcome death and the grave for us, giving life even in death, life now and life for eternity. Real life that we can experience and live out right now, because you see, being with Jesus, it changes us. It changes how we think. It changes how we act. It changes how we live, so that we can leave behind our old way of thinking and acting and living, and be people who are setting our mind, as Paul says, on the things above. How many of you have taken an Uber before? I know the Salt Witches have. Yeah, you guys. I don't know about yesterday, Di. Hey, I give you a little hard time. But it's just kind of the new modern-day taxi. You put the app on your phone, and you know, you plug it in, and they're there, and they take you to where you want to go. Popular way to get around. But it's interesting what people leave behind in Ubers. Recently, I came across a list. A black and white tuxedo for a dog. It's funny, Sam Bosma said to me after church, "That could have been mine, Pastor, but you wouldn't let me get a tuxedo for my dog for our wedding." I said, "You're right, Sam. We're not having dogs in church for weddings." Well, what else did they find in the back of an Uber? They found a full set of 18-karat gold teeth. I don't know what you do with those, but or a Harry Potter magic wand. I guess somebody was dressing up or something. And my favorite is a pair of deer antlers. Yeah, who knows? You know, you got to carry your deer antlers around with you. So the question for us this morning, as we think about this idea of being with Jesus so that we can do what Jesus asks us, is what are we going to leave behind so that we can spend more time with him? Because you see, here's the thing. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more we are people who are Roman numeral 2, living the blessed life. Maybe you've noticed in your own life that when I spend my time with Jesus, I long to do more of what he says. When I spend time in worship, I'm given the fuel that I need to keep going in life. When I read God's word, it starts to show itself in my heart, and I long to share it. When I pray, there's a peace that comes over me that I can't even begin to explain. When I rest and remember all that God's done for me, his gratitude overflows from my heart. When I fast and I'm willing to give something up, I learn to lean on God and remember that he's my provider. When I really honor the Sabbath, I remember that it's not all about me. And what a life, you see, it can be when we are joined to Jesus. The blessed life that he wants for us. Now, I have to tell you, it's not always an easy life. And it's certainly not a perfect life. But it is the kind of life that we long for, as we are point number one, as we are joined to Jesus. For you see, it's what Jesus did for us that motivates us. It's what Jesus did for us that moves us to get out of our comfort zones and step out in faith. It's what Jesus did for us that changes us. Who we are and what we do, so that you and I can be people who finish what God has started in us. As we are point number two, empowered. Empowered to transformed living. As we put into practice the red letter words of Jesus. As we show God's love by being people who forgive the sins of those who have sinned against us. As we show that love of Christ, as we are people who seek to serve others in the same way that Christ served us. We are people of love. As we are willing to give away what we have been given, the abundance that God continues to pour out on us so that others may experience it. We show the love of God as we are people who are going, taking that step of faith and going into a lost and empty world as people who are living differently, as people who are loving differently, as people who are living in a real relationship with our God. You know as well as I do that it can be easy to give up and not finish what we started. But you see, being with Jesus, being with Him really changes us. It enables us to be people who hear God's word and put it into practice as we are people who are following Jesus, our Savior, together. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus until life.